This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Ivy Hillier.
Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And Jesus, when he came, saw much people. I went to the wrong page. And when he was coming to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye such ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, everybody say, put them out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, I ain't going to try to pronounce that, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Now, that's our story. That's going to be the backdrop that we're going to hang this lesson on, because I've never taught a lesson on this. God never had this revelation that God has given me. But what we're going to look at is we're going to look at responsibility. Game changers take responsibility in life situations, choosing to make a difference. And so what we see here is this father who is faced with a dilemma goes to Jesus, decides he's going to be the factor in changing this situation so we can set him apart as being a game changer. And so but one of the most important messages I think every believer needs is this message on responsibility. Now, my father was not a great educator or anything like that. I think my father dropped out of high school. I don't think he finished high school. But he taught his boys responsibility. Amen. What a powerful lesson, you know. The longer I live, I see how smart my father was. He taught us responsibility. Because as we're going to learn today, without being responsible and without being having this character trait of responsibility, nothing of significance can ever happen. Now, we live in a society, really, that tolerates irresponsibility. And there is a war waged from the forces of darkness against the model of responsibility, who is to be the father, Jesus. I mean, let's go back to the garden. God, who's father of all, he models responsibility to Adam, gives Adam responsibility that he's to model to his family. So the devil fights this model because this is the fundamental way we are taught. More is caught than taught. And so if he can defame, if he can distort what real responsibility is, then he can stop this message from being passed down from generation to generation to generation. Moreover, as we're going to see, when we choose to be responsible, now what I mean by that, when we choose to say, in life situations, I am going to be the godly instrument that glorifies God in this situation and brings the will of God to pass. Now, I see most people don't hear that when you say responsibility or when you say responsible. Most people bristle up when you talk about responsibility because they hear blame. You blaming me for something. Or they hear shame. You're trying to call me out. And all of that is to keep you from really accepting and adopting this whole message of responsibility. Now, let's go to put your ribbon there and let's go to Luke chapter 12. Simple points today. Point number one, understanding the dynamics of responsibility. Point number two, understanding the development of responsibility. Point number three, understanding from a demonstration of responsibility. Amen, amen. Now, when you add responsibility or being responsible, everybody say responsible. Okay, watch this, watch it. When we say being responsible, we're not saying you caused it, but we're saying in my situation, I may not have caused it, but I am responsible for the outcome and how I operate in this situation. Because see, most people are here, well, you're trying to say I caused it. No. You may not have caused it, but I can tell you what, if in your situation you choose to be responsible, take responsibility, have the ability to respond properly, then you can affect the outcome. Otherwise, you just let life happen to you. Hallelujah, amen. All right, now watch this, Luke chapter 12, because it is the testimony of Scripture that we are to be responsible individuals. Let me give you my working definition. It's a commitment that compels and binds you to your obligations with a sense of duty, affecting your attitude and the course of action that demanded the commitment. Everybody say, get the CD. Now, because I know you didn't write all that down. But I'm going to give you enough to hold on to, because listen, if in every family, every person was responsible for their role, every person took responsibility for their assignments and what they were supposed to do, think how wonderful the family would be. Amen. See, the breakdown in a relationship comes when responsibility is abandoned. All right. Now, listen, just over the years when I have counseled couples that were on the verge of divorce, the main element there was irresponsibility. I mean, many times it wasn't that they didn't love each other, but the irresponsibility had clouded the love factor and caused trust to be diminished. Everybody quiet today. That's all right. That's all right. All right, watch that. Watch. So the Bible teaches us, to whom much is given, what? Oh, all right. Well, let's look at it. Look what I tell you. Luke chapter what? 12. Look at verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. This whole lesson on responsibility is going to bless you, because I'm going to show you that when you choose to be a responsible person, that God steps in and he does something for you. He empowers you. Verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now, I'm lifting part B out of there, because that's a statement. When I've been given much, I'm required much. Now, what people miss in the kingdom is that though salvation is free, there are some requirements when I get saved. So the testimony of Scripture establishes that there are reasonable expectations from the believer. So he expects us to be obedient. Well, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then his responsibility, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's light. All right. Another passage there. If you be willing and obedient, sound like some responsibility is there. If you be willing and obedient, then you eat the good of the land. If you obey and serve me, that's Job 36 and 11, says, you know, then you live your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. All right. Of course, the tithing thing. I want to bless. Well, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Sound like I got some responsibility. All right. Then as far as evangelism, Jesus leaves here and says, now, here's what you're responsible for doing. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I can see throughout the thread of Scripture that he's requiring something of us. Amen. All through the Bible, he's requiring something of us. And so the moment I can wrap my heart around it and my mind around that, listen, this is not a free ride. No, it's not a free ride, that God is requiring me to be a person of responsibility. Amen. Okay. Now watch this. Those that we admire in Scripture, were people who became, who took on a responsibility and got empowered as a result of it. So God find Moses hiding. Now understand, Moses is a fugitive. Now he left Pharaoh, he left Egypt running because he killed this guy. So he's a fugitive on the run, hiding on the backside of the hills of Midian. And God calls him, comes to him, offers him a proposition, asking him to take responsibility for emancipating a nation. Now look, who is God choosing? He's choosing this guy on the backside of nowhere. But when Moses accepts the responsibility, then God empowers him to do so. I want you to see this in all the situations when a kingdom responsibility is accepted and kingdom empowerment takes place. Oh, okay, okay, okay. All right. Now, let's look at another passage. No, okay. All right. Let's just look. David. David accepts responsibility of killing the giant. He's not trained. He's not a warrior. You follow me? But the moment he steps up and says, okay, you all won't do it, I will do it. I'm taking responsibility to glorify God in this situation. What does God do? God empowers him for victory. All right, let's go to Gideon. Now, Gideon, boy, man, I tell you, I got so blessed that I studied this. Gideon starts off with 32,000. 32,000 men already outnumbered 135,000 enemy. Okay, God says you got too many. And God, you know, whittles his army down, his fighting army down to 300. Yes. Now, Gideon could have been stressed out over the 22,000. Yeah, 22,700. No, 29,000. No, what is 32,000 minus 300? 31,700. So he could have been stressed out over the 31,700 that left. But we never see him concerned about the 31,700 that left. He chooses to work with the 300 that he got. Now watch this. So now I start looking at this now. The first group left because they were afraid. Second group left because they were not focused. So the criteria upon which this 300 are distinguished, the criteria is responsibility. Because they took responsible for the battle because instead of falling down on their faces and drinking, they kept their eyes focused on the battlefield and drank like this. Oh my God. So with 300 responsible men, he took down a whole army. Watch this. With 23 responsible folk, God built what you see here today. So you give me folk who will accept responsibility for their future, who will accept a kingdom responsibility, and I will show you a miracle in the making. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Now we understand why the whole message of responsibility is false. So it is false. No, it's really false because really, I mean, that is the whole thing. A father is to be an example of responsibility. Amen. So the devil fights this example so that a coming generation won't see responsibility and will not be responsible, thus handicapping the generation that's coming up. Amen. All right. So then Jesus accepts responsibility, as we're going to see, and he got empowered. The disciples accepted responsibility for winning the world. They got empowered. Mary accepted responsibility for bringing forth Jesus and was empowered. So the testimony of Scripture, the testimony of the saints, watch this now, and it is the testimony of anything that is significantly done. Somebody responsible is behind it. Anything. Okay, right. I mean, you're sitting here, we got a nice atmosphere today, right? Somebody was responsible for the place being clean. Somebody was responsible for the air being
could own. Somebody's problem. See, nothing of significance that impacts anything is done without a responsible person behind it, all right? So then when we look in the kingdom of God, I can't really do anything without being, okay, we take responsibility. All right, watch this. I can't obey God without being seeing myself as a response. I'm responsible if I want the results. I'm responsible for doing something. Watch this. I can't even repent without taking responsibility for my transgression. To the prodigal son, we applaud him because in the hog pen, he takes responsibility for where he is. He didn't blame the father.
If my father just treated me right, and I wouldn't be down here with these hogs. And my brother didn't treat me right either. And I just tell you,
he didn't do anything. He looked at it and he says, listen, I have made mistakes. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take full responsibility for everything that I have done. And I'm just ask my daddy to take me back. So you can't really repent without taking responsibility. Now, you cannot give significantly without a sense of responsibility. No, you can't give significantly without a sense of responsibility. Otherwise, you just give a token gift so everybody can kind of see you doing something. But to give significantly, you have to have a sense of responsibility. All right, now, in order to lead, you have to have a sense of responsibility. Deliver me from a person who calls himself a manager and will not take responsibility downstream of what for their operation. I remember one of the first things I got in trouble with when I was a young manager in industry, and one of my guys who worked for me had made a serious mistake, cost us a customer, and I tell you, man, I sit there and I knew I was going to be called in, and I was called in. Boss called me in, and what I did was, man, I did everything I could to point the finger at that fellow downstream. I mean, I'm covering myself. He did. My boss said, man, he said, listen, I pay you too much money for you to come in here and give me an excuse of what somebody else did downstream. That is not what I pay you for. And he said, not other little choice things that you can't say in church. Amen. So my whole point is, if I'm a leader, then I have to take. Doesn't mean I did it. See, that's the whole point. It doesn't mean I did it. But in my situation now, I'm stepping forward saying, if the will of God's going to come out of this situation, if God's going to be glorified in this situation, I'm going to be the instrument by which he uses to bring himself glory. And when I do that, we'll show you, God says, all right, since you're going to be my instrument, since you're going to be my vessel that I'm going to work through, now I'm going to empower you to do so. Even though you haven't been trained, even though nobody have mentored you, I'm going to empower you and you will supernaturally be able to perform. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. My life was changed when I saw I had to take responsibility for my future. I was upset with God. Had been a boy preacher. My Lord, if anybody should have succeeded, the boy preacher should have succeeded. But here I was, ministry fledgling, little old raggedy church, everybody laughing at me. And I'm mad with God. I'm taking it out on God. What's wrong with you? I may not be your best preacher, but I know I ain't your worst one. You follow me? We compare ourselves with others. Then God had me read verse 8. Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make, thou shalt what? Oh my God, I got to do something. Here I am waiting on God, God's waiting on me. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have what? Good success. So I cannot have success until I take responsibility for that success and my actions. Amen. Now, let's look at the development of responsibility, the development of responsibility. All right, Deuteronomy 30, 19, we all know it says, I set before you life and death. This says, choose life that both thou and thy seed may what? So my actions affect not only my circumstance, my situation, but it affects future generations. My actions. So if I'm irresponsible, my irresponsibility will also have generational impact.
So we have to, so I can motivate you to become responsible, I want you to see what happens when there's irresponsibility. Irresponsibility is the forerunner of victimization. That when I'm when I've acted irresponsible, you follow me? Because I've acted irresponsible, now I got a victim mentality. You follow me? And so we have been groomed in a society, thank God for welfare. But because of a welfare mentality, people who could perform won't perform because they said, I just can't. You haven't tried. Now, thank God for welfare. I'm telling you, I think years ago when my mom was struggling, my dad's in the hospital, you know, we were on welfare. We had, yes, indeed. No, but the government cheat. We needed help. Come on now. I'm just telling you. So I'm not throwing you under the bus because temporarily that's where you are. But I'm saying that there comes a time when you as a believer have to understand God's got better for you than waiting on a check in the mail every month. Hallelujah. Amen. So victimization. Everybody say victimization. Yeah. So when one of the devastation of irresponsibility is I feel a victim. You know, po me. Secondly, is stagnation. When I am not responsible, then there's stagnation. There's the loss of precious time that can never be regained because I won't step up to the plate and do what I need to do. Thirdly, there's humiliation because believe it or not, somebody is going to find out who the problem is and the problem is me and they will call me out. Now I'm humiliated because really, you know, because the pinpointing of the blame stops with me. So number one, that was what? When there's irresponsibility. Talk back to me, class. Victimization. I feel victimized. Number two, stagnation. I lose valuable time. Number three, humiliation. I become ashamed of my situation. And number four is incarceration. Now, incarceration is not always physical incarceration. Many times there is this psychological incarceration where I really feel I can't do anything about my situation. I feel locked. I feel trapped in my situation. All because I've been waiting on somebody to ride in and rescue me, and nobody has rolled in and rescued me. So it's time to develop. Everybody says it's time to develop. Responsibility. Amen, amen. All right, now watch this. Responsibility must be taught and taken. You people say, I got to what? Take responsibility. Yeah. I got to teach it, but it has to be taken. In other words, until I see a benefit, hunch a person that say, listen to this. Until I see a benefit of being responsible that outweighs the burden of irresponsibility, I will not change. Hush person, I said, that boy's preaching this morning. Come on. I said, that boy, he's laying out this morning. Yeah, see, that's the whole thing, you see. I got to rise up to the point where I see, yes, with responsibility, then, you know, yeah, there comes something, but there's also a burden on being irresponsible. When I'm irresponsible, that's a burden, that's a hardship. When I'm irresponsible, life just happens to me. But when I choose to be responsible, it's like me getting in front of the steering wheel now. Nobody else is driving me. I got to. Now, what am I doing now? I got to stir up a passion in you to do more than you have done before. Otherwise, this is just another little cute message with a lot of good revelation. But I got to start. Y'all know can I talk about my Kool-Aid? Yes. My generation who used to make Kool-Aid in the big box, in the big pot, big tub. Y'all know that? You put the Kool-Aid in there, you put the sugar in there, and you stir. But then you taste it, and it still don't taste sweet. That's because that sugar has settled to the bottom. So then you have to learn how to stir deep. So that's what's going on this morning. Because see, I want every man to walk out of here saying, listen, I have not been as responsible as I should have. But I heard something today that changed my life. that I got another generation looking at me for the example of responsibility. And once I step up to the plate and say, listen, I didn't cause this, but I am in it. And because I am in it, I am taking responsibility that God will be glorified in this situation. Now I'm expecting God to empower me. All right. Now watch this. So then, here's what has to happen. Here's what has to happen. Is God a responsible God? Amen. Come on, talk back to me. Is he responsible? Because I got to get you to think it right now, okay? So it is in the nature of God that he is responsible. Amen. All right, go in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have agreed now. It is in the nature of God. He is responsible. He's a responsible God. We call him faithful, but he's a responsible God. Amen? So what the Bible tells me now is awesome, because now I understand this whole idea of taking responsibility, stepping up, is more dynamic than I thought at first. Because it tells me here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. I am a partaker of his divine nature. What's in him is in me by the representative of the Holy Spirit. When I ask Jesus to be my Lord, when I ask him to save me, by his spirit, he comes in as the representative of Jesus Christ. And when he comes in, watch this, he brings in the nature of God. We are partakers of his divine nature, and that part I have of his divine nature lies dormant until I activate it by my faith. Faith comes by hearing by, but faith is released by. I'm telling you, when you start declaring, because God is on the inside of me, and he's a responsible God, I am responsible in my situation. Didn't cause my situation. You know, didn't want to be in a situation like this, but now I know by the word of God that I am able to handle this. Ooh. Amen. All right, watch this. So now, more of the word of God comes alive to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hurry, class. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tried or tested above that you're able. What? In other words, whatever situation I'm in, God says, you are able. Now, you may not have responded as though you are able, but you are able, because he says, I will not let you be in a situation for which you are already not able. Well, you didn't get that. Y'all gonna work me hard on that. No. It says, watch this. This is a powerful passage. It says, now when we see the word temptation, that's not about talking being tempted to sin, but it's about a trial or test. So it says, there's no trial or test, nothing you're going through that somebody else hadn't already gone through. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, who will not allow you to go through any trial or test that you are not able to handle. So if I'm going through something, even if it's distasteful, God has already surveyed my ability and would not let me be in the midst of it if he did not know I was already able to go through it and come out victorious. What is missing is your response. He says you are able. You got to respond. Respond like you are able, and you become responsible. Come on, tell the person, get the CD today. Tell you get the CD. Okay, now watch this. So then, gotta hurry. Y'all good class. I know this. Now go to Luke 22, because I'm going to show you something now, that when you become responsible, that empowerment comes. See, you don't have to do this by yourself. When you step up and says, okay, then God says, that's what I've been waiting for.
The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those who he can show himself strong and mighty through. God is looking for somebody to say, I'll do it. On every situation, Isaiah sees this awesome, awesome presentation of God. And he says, here am I, send me. God empowers him. I'm trying to tell you the whole thing. It hinges on your stepping up, abandoning all excuses, not pointing a finger at anybody else. Yes, so-and-so could have helped you. This person could have done that. Your husband could have stayed with you. Then your wife could have stayed with you. All of these things. Okay, yeah, all that's okay. But now let's put that all on the shelf. Because I am faced with what I'm faced with. And the Lord told me I am able. If he says I'm able, I choose to believe I'm able. And I'm ready to step up to the plate and take responsibility in my situation. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Okay. Three things happen when I can expect when I take on this responsibility trait. Number one, empowerment. Empowerment. Everybody say empowerment. Right. Number two, endearment. Endearment. In other words, once I step up and become responsible, those who are around me, they appreciate me more. Got it? The following, the third thing is an endowment. I leave something for the next generation. I leave an example for my children. I leave an example for others who follow me because they have witnessed and seen responsibility in action. Glory be to God. So now watch this. Let's see if we can't see this in the life of Jesus. So Jesus, one of my favorite passages here, Luke 22, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You there? And, he's looking at the cup. Everybody say the cup. All right, he's looking at the cup, and the Bible says, we'll pick it up there in verse 42, all right, says, for verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, he's talking about removing the cup. That's almost acting irresponsible, right? He's supposed to die. He's supposed to do this. This is what he come to do. But now he's talking about moving the cup. You can't be moving the cup, Jesus. But then he shifts and goes from, watch this, let this cup pass to not my will but thine be done. He takes responsibility for redemption. Now, to go back to the definition I gave you earlier, watch this. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he changed his focus. He began while they're looking at the cup. He changed his focus, took his focus off the cup, took his focus to resurrection morning. Saw the benefit of going through all that he was responsible for doing because it was going to pay off big time. Everybody say big time. Big time. Because Jesus saw the big picture. Everybody say the big picture. All right, now watch this now. Look there with me in verse 43. After he takes responsibility, what happens? And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, what? Empowering him, strengthening him. Can you see that? I want you to see that because, see, I want this to be your expectation that when I quit giving all kind of excuses and blaming this one, that, and the other and say, all right, I'm going to be the instrument God uses to be glorified in this situation. Future generations need my example. I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to take responsibility in this situation. I can expect God to show up with his power, to empower me, to strengthen me. Look at the person that said, I got it. Whew. Everybody say, you got to see the big picture. Let me go on and close now because y'all kind of worked me hard on this one today. Y'all did. Y'all work my heart. All right. Watch this. So now let's look at let's go back to Jairus. Because Jairus is the demonstration. We learn from his demonstration. All right. Simple point. Number one, Jairus was a father who cared. Now, how I know he cared? He's got a sick daughter on his hands. And with this sick daughter on his hand, and he's a ruler of the synagogue, so he got servants. He could have sent somebody else to get Jesus. But he's a father who took personal interest in this situation.
He was the personal intercessor in this situation, and he took the initiative to do something about it. Amen. Everybody say initiative, yeah. Yeah, but he's demonstrating, we're demonstrating what responsibility is about. So he's a father who cares that is facing a crisis. His daughter is dead, and we used to say, low sick. Y'all say y'all don't know about that, but low sick, you understand? All right? And he finds the Christ. He takes it to the right person. He goes to Jesus with his situation. He found Christ. Amen. All right? And obviously he's convinced Jesus to go home with him because they're on their way when they become frustrated along the course. In other words, this lady come up, she got healed. We thank God she got healed, but Jairus got an emergency. And she's telling all the details of her healing, how she's been sick all these years, and been to doctor after doctor. Jairus is saying, we got to get out of here. And right after she finished her testimony, Jesus speaks a blessing over her. Somebody comes from his house and says, too late. Too late. She's dead. Daughter's dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. Jesus turns around and says, keep believing. So his fear was conquered. Frustrated with the lady. And that's when you start walking with Jesus, I'm telling you, there are some frustrating moments. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's some things that don't happen as fast as you want them to happen. There's some people that, oh my God, hey, praise the Lord. Frustrating moments. But Jesus ministered to his fear, and his fear was conquered. Watch this. And he had the fortitude to continue. When I have taken responsibility, even if things don't look like they're working out the way I want them to work out, thank God I got the fortitude to keep on. I got the fortitude to stay with the course. Goes home, watch this, and watch this. The crowd is there, bemoaning and crying and all that sort of thing. He forsakes the crowd. He chooses not to act like the crowd. If I am going to be responsible, I may understand the crowd may be going one way, but because I'm getting a little loud with this, but because I'm a responsible person, I'm choosing to go the other way. Hallelujah. And Jesus freed him from his calamity. His daughter got healed. Everybody say the big picture. Close with a story. Lighthouse keeper. Lighthouse keeper in this coastal town had great responsibility. And every first of the month, they gave him a supply of oil to keep the light burning. So during the course of 1 month, people began to come to him to get some of his oil. And they had all kinds of sob stories wanting his oil, but he refused them. Person after person. Story after story, he held his course. And then it was put out how cold-hearted he was. He couldn't let some people have some of his oil, but he wouldn't do it. And so that was clamor all in the community. He was spurned by others because he wouldn't let others have some of his oil. At the end of the month, there was a great storm that came, and ships were being lost at sea and tossed at sea. And the only way they could get to safety was by the light from the lighthouse. And because he had oil in the, and could keep the light shining, you know, many ships made it to harbor. It was calculated that if he had given the oil out to those who had their sob stories, that he would not have had enough oil for the storm. And so they changed their minds. And instead of him being, you know, him being put down in the community, they celebrated him in the community as a hero. If you hold on to the big picture and you make responsible decisions, people may not like it short term. My. But you've got to understand in the end, they will change their minds. Now, if I had time, I could close with Jesus. Because the disciples could not see the big picture. Amen, amen, amen. They said, Jesus, you don't have to die.
Jesus, you can call legion of angels and wipe all these people. In fact, Peter couldn't wait. He took out his sword and said, I'll step up to the plate. I'll cut the ear off. They couldn't understand him wanting to die because they couldn't see the big picture. Amen, amen. But on resurrection morning, when it was revealed, now he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. It was a reason for him dying. Because of that, are you listening to me? I'm believing today that there are people here who will see the big picture. Amen, amen. That life is not just this moment, but there's a decision you must make in life that will control your destiny and the destiny of others. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's walking, nobody's moving. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Because there are men and women today who will be responsible, who will take you up on your offer for salvation, for being filled with the Spirit of God. And we will walk out of here responsible and empowered, indeed, with an endowment for the future generations. God, we thank you and we call it done. I'm pleased asking that you respect our order. We're going to be gone in just a moment. But I really believe God told me to teach this lesson today because there are some people who really need to make a decision that this day I rise to the place where I'm going to be responsible. No more tears. No more blame. I'm going to make a move. Terry.
Amen, amen. Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. This is a very sensitive time in our service. So no one should be moving at this time unless you just have to leave. But listen, I believe that you're put in a position today where you have to make a decision for a better life with God. The first appeal I like to make is for salvation. If you're here today,